Ephesians 4, reading beginning in verse 11, and then hearing verse 14 proclaimed. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Last week, as we heard about the goals that the Holy Spirit, who is writing to us by the Apostle Paul here, has for that ministry that we have, each of us, to one another. That the reason we have shepherd teachers is to equip. That is, you remember, that's that word for mending the hooks and the nets of the fishermen. That shepherding ministry of the pastor teachers would maintain us. Why? Because we have a ministry that each of us has been given from Jesus for all of the others. That the way that his body is built up, end of verse 12, is by every saint ministering, and that the goal is that we would all be unified in the way that he says to be unified, the unity of faith, that we would all know Christ, not just know about him, but know him himself and the knowledge of the Son of God, and that we would all mature, that we come to be a perfect man, mature Christians who are measured by Christ and filled with Christ, so who are Christ-like and Christ-full, or full of Jesus. Now verse 14 brings us back to that equipping idea, because when we go into verse 15, Lord willing, in a few weeks, we're going to hear verse 15, but truthing in love may grow up in all things to him who is the head, that is Christ. And so it says speaking the truth in love, but as I've already mentioned, and we'll hear more when we get there to verse 15, that we are all going to be thinking and speaking and acting the truth with one another. That's what love does. That we who love God and we who love one another will truth one another in love. Well, in order for us to truth one another, we have to know what the truth is. And so verse 14 is describing what happens when we don't have shepherd teachers who are received and recognized as gifts from Jesus for the good of his church, for the building up of his church, and what happens when the shepherd teachers that we have don't recognize that that's what they've been called to do, and what happens if we don't receive them from Christ as gifts and avail ourselves of their ministry. So he says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Now there's something exciting that is going to be happening in the Rowden household in a few months. And that is baby Zeph is going to be crawling, and then he is going to be pulling up and cruising. And that's when he kind of keeps his balance by things and stays on his feet, kids. And then one day one of the Rowden kids will say, "Oh, he's doing it! And he'll take steps and he'll start walking. But he won't be very stable at first. He's going to take a few steps and flump. He's going to land on his bottom. He's going to take another couple steps and flump. Land on his bottom. Now, probably what they will not do at that point is say, "Hey, let's go out on the lake in a rowboat and put baby Zeph in the middle of the boat and see how he does." Because it says that we should no longer be children. But in the illustration that the Holy Spirit is giving us here, that's what believers are like when we don't have the ministry of Jesus stabilizing our theology so that we can know from the Bible what we believe, and we can speak it with one another, and we can live it with one another. And he uses each of us in one another's lives to grow us up into him. Now, are shepherd teachers the only ones that he uses? Well, of course not, say all the little boys and girls, because dad teaches me the Bible every day at home. And he has told me to obey my parents and the Lord. And he's told dad that he has to give me the instruction of the Lord. And sometimes it's mommy who does that too, because mommy spends more time with me. And dad isn't there every time I rise up, and every time I lay down, and every time I go out, and every time I come in. And all the different ways that Deuteronomy 6 fills in what Ephesians 6 is going to teach us in about a chapter and a half. So there are other things, and all the different ways that Jesus gives us his word and calls us to meditate upon his word, to wear it as frontlet between the eyes, not like telling us, "Hey, go take, you know, head dress tips from Hasidic Jews or bind things." He's saying that word, his word, has got to control how you see everything. It's got to control everything you extend your hand to do and what you do with it. And Jesus, who has given us his word to stabilize us, has given us, yes, moms and dads, and yes, his word written, and yes, instructions to hide it in your heart and meditate on it day and night. But you know what else Ephesians 4 says he's given us? He says he's given us shepherd teachers. He ascended on high. He's the victorious king, and he gives gifts. He gives apostles and prophets by whom the word is written. And he gives evangelists by whom the word goes to places where it's never been heard before. And he gives shepherd teachers. And Jesus says, "I'm doing this for you because apart from my blessing, the ministry of your shepherd teachers to you, y'all are going to be like theological toddlers learning to walk in a boat." That's the picture in verse 14. And now, you know, the toddler may say, "I do too know how to thump." And there are a lot of believers out there who feel like they're just fine with their theology. They don't need shepherd teachers. Well, they do too know how to thump. Because part of knowing and saying and believing what Jesus says is knowing that he is the one who has gifted and graced and gifted and called and ordained shepherd teachers. So that instead of "I do too know how to thunk," we would be steady in our doctrine. Why? Because there are two things that are trying to knock us off. First, there's our own inherent instability as children, that we should no longer be children. And there are then these other winds of doctrine, the trickery of men. You know, a heretic never writes a book and puts in the foreword, "You know, the Christian church has believed the opposite of what I'm about to write in the next couple hundred of pages for 2,000 years. But I, being a heretic and desiring to pull as many down into hell with me as possible, have written this book of lies in order to pull as many people down as I can." No, they always say, this is the truth just from another perspective than you've ever heard it before. And it's gentler and kinder and more winsome. And it really gets the gospel. And it really gets Jesus. And you're going to read this book and it's going to change how you think of everything. Please don't ever come to me and tell me that you've read a book that changes how you think of everything. Unless you're new to the church, then I hope that you do that. Because if you've been in this church, you've had the Bible, you've had good teaching, you've had good preaching, especially don't go to college and read some blasphemous book with Aunt Jemima being God the Father and some little Asian girl being God the Holy Spirit and some effeminate weirdo being God the Son. I kid you not, this happened to me in my former ministry. A child from a faithful home that hadn't come up under my ministry, but I knew the parents and I knew the former pastor that child had had, went away to school and read this demonic book called The Shack. And came back and said, I've read this amazing book. It's changed how I think of everything. Toddling in a rowboat. Okay? The book that changes everything is the one that you already know. It is the Bible. It is what God helping me, I hope. And if not, come get the help of the elders. You are teaching in your homes. And what if I ever stop teaching and preaching, your elders better throw me out of the boat. Because otherwise we won't truth one another in love. And the body won't be built up into the head, which is Jesus Christ. And any so-called unity we have will be the unity of Babel that God hates and wants to destroy and lifts it up, set itself up against him. And it won't be Christ whom we know, but some perversion of him that exists in the hearts and minds of idolaters. And when we mature, it will not be according to the measure of Christ or by being filled with Christ, but by according to some measure that man has invented and by some method that man can follow to his own ends. So let us not be theologically those who sure can too walk by our thwomp, but who will no longer be children tossed to and fro or deceived by every wind, blown about by every wind of doctrine and deceived by the trickery of men. Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus, you are the shepherd of Israel. And how long will your people wander? We thank you that we have here in your word your recipe, your blueprint and plan for our not wandering, our not being blown about, our not toddling in the boat. But, oh God, we see so much in our life and in the broader church especially that makes us cry out that you would lay your hand on the Son of Man whom you have favored, and that for his sake you would bring your people back. Lord, we pray for Mr. Dave and Mr. Charlie and Mr. Jim and myself that you would grant to us to be faithful in the ministry here for the sake of your people, that every member, every part of the body would be maintained, equipped for truthing one another. That by this means, the whole body would be built up into Christ, who is the head. And that Jesus would be glorified at the Hopewell Church. And, O Lord, we pray for all of your churches where the gospel is still preached and your word is still held and believed and taught. That you might grant a refreshing ministry of your Spirit, reforming men in the eldership to their calling, reforming congregations to seek such eldership, And O God, for the next generation, for these sons and daughters about whom we have just called upon you in singing and praying in Psalm 34, we pray that among them you would be raising up men whom you would give as gifts, whom you would transform by your grace and call not only to the ministry of husband and father, but having blessed them with fruit and skill in that ministry, call them also to the ministry of elder, we pray, and shepherd your people through them, and make us to test and approve your holy and pleasing and perfect will, and to say we have tried what the Lord Jesus has said, and indeed he is faithful and powerful, that Christ might be glorified by the design that he has given, and that we might be humbled by the failure of everything that we have tried to add and failed. Have mercy on your church, O God, we ask in Jesus' name, and glorify yourself, for we ask that he would be glorified in his church. Amen.